Please take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Title of our message this morning is Staying Clean in a Polluted World. Staying clean in a polluted world. Let's stand together, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 2, two verses, verses 11 and 12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Dear Heavenly Father, may we abstain from fleshly lusts. Give us, Lord, the victory. And Lord, we pray that we could do this in your name and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. It's not easy to live in this world and maintain a holy walk. The anti-God atmosphere around us that the Bible calls the world is always pressing against us, trying to force us to conform. There are those who are trying to make it illegal for the coaches of high school football teams to pray at a football game. There are those who want to have generic prayers to a generic God at city hall meetings. It seems like we are doing everything possible not to rid the world of religion, but to stop Christianity. Because the world is afraid of Christians. May we make them afraid by our testimony and by our witness. May we continue to proclaim the love of Christ, that men and women need to be saved, that they need to repent, and that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. In verse 11, we find that Peter once again talks to them as strangers and pilgrims, basically meaning foreigners and travelers. Indeed, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. For the believer, our citizenship is elsewhere. Reminds me of the story of the longtime missionaries to Africa that were coming home. And on the very same ship was the President of the United States of America. And upon arriving home, the band played the songs that would welcome a president home. And the longtime missionary couple got off to no fanfare. And no one greeted them but one person who picked them up and took them to the apartment that had been leased for them. And as the husband sat down after bringing up the last package and suitcase and putting his hands, or head in his hands, he said to his wife, "No one has welcomed us home." And she looked at him and said, "We aren't home yet." See, there is a better place than planet Earth. And to the believer, we have a better place. We notice that Paul addresses these strangers and pilgrims by saying, "Dearly beloved." He loved them in the Lord, as we love one another in the Lord. And when you love someone, you want what's best for them. And for these to whom he had written, he wanted what was best for them. That they would serve the Lord faithfully, that they would draw close to him, that their joy would be in their Lord. When you love someone, you want to protect them from harmful things. We note how Peter admonished them, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Fleshly lusts. We've all heard Hebrews 12:1, and I'll quote it for you. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. As you may or may not know, my son is a runner, and he has run half marathons. He's never gotten Brother Wutke to the full marathon. Maybe someday. But he's talking about the upcoming marathon in Detroit, where they will run across the bridge and then come back through the tunnel. And he's saying how that he is going to be part of that Detroit marathon, and he and three or four other people are all going to be running as a tag team. And how he is running the first two legs, and how he'll go across the bridge into Canada and then come back through the tunnel. And he's excited about it. And I told him, I said, well, how long will they close the bridge and the tunnel? And he gave me a time, and he says, the race will begin at this time. And he says, if you're not back, they will put you on a bus and bring you home. You know, the problem is sometimes people get tired and they just can't make the journey. And many Christians have stopped running the race. They're sitting on the sidelines. May I encourage you, get up and get in the race. Lay aside those things that are keeping us from being involved for the cause of Christ. Another fleshly lust is money. Now, don't tell me that money is the root of all evil, because money is not the root of all evil. It's not wrong to have money, is it? I hope not, because I have some in my pocket. But what is the root of all evil? The love of money. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. In other words, if you have the wrong idea about money, it will cause you to have a problem with your faith. And it says, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. We have the idea that that money is going to take away our problems. No, it doesn't take away problems. Now, I'm going to tell you something right here, and some of you are going to turn me off right now. If you haven't already, I don't believe that any of the Detroit Lions should earn over $1 million a game. You say, well, $1 million a game? Yes, we have a quarterback that they're talking $25 million to $30 million. See, how much money do you need? You say, Pastor Paul, don't you care? Well, I do care because I know that Rudy cares. But the fact of the matter, should someone get more than $1 million a game? No. But see, we have this idea that you're worth it. No, money causes issues if we have the wrong connotations with it. Paul told Timothy, he says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, worldly lusts. Joshua 6:18, And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing. Can there be something in your life that is taking you away from the Lord? It is thus an accursed thing. We must have the right relationship with possessions. Note how Peter advises them, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. He advises them. We know that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Would you agree with that statement? That the spirit is willing, but the flesh. Dr. David Sorensen writes, the fact is, improper and immoral sexual lust will deaden our souls and spirits. Hosea 4:8 states that whoredom and wine take away the soul. What that means is that sexual sin and intoxication deadens the soul and spirit to the things of God. This is why our enemy, the devil, promotes sexual immorality along with drunkenness, unquote. Do we live in a world that is sex crazy? Do we not advertise everything with it? Do we not promote it in our magazines and in our songs and in our activities? Yes. And then alcohol. Boy, it's looked as if you don't have alcohol, you don't know how to live. You've never had fun in your life. And it draws people away from the Lord. And he advises us to abstain from fleshly lusts. James 1:27 states that the believer is to keep himself unspotted from the world. Unspotted. The other day I was at the Golden Corral. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Absolutely. I tell you what, Pastor Stephen and I had done some work at my dad's house, and dad went to Stephen to give him money because he knew I wouldn't take it. And Pastor Stephen, being the nice guy that he is, took it. And we went to the Golden Corral with our wives. And you took Simone. And have you ever had their little sliders? You know, their little hamburgers. And they have a little bit of cheese on it and a pickle. And they have the mustard right there. Got to have the mustard, right? I mean, you got to have the mustard. And so I noticed that someone had gotten one of those sliders and they'd put mustard on it. And then they had eaten that slider with the mustard on it. And their nice white shirt now had mustard. Was it me? No, if it was me, I wouldn't be telling this story. Oh, no, I'm not fessing up. I fessed up that I went to the Golden Corral. But you know what happened when that mustard got on that shirt? What was the only thing you saw? The mustard. And I could tell that that person was embarrassed. Because everybody walking towards them saw the mustard, and some people were actually smiling. Not laughing, but smiling. I'm not going to ask you if you've ever gotten mustard on your white shirt. But maybe you got chocolate ice cream on it. Yeah. But you and our Christian walk, we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Now, is that easy? It is not. Because Satan is throwing all the mud he can. He's throwing all the mud, and folks, may I say this, some of you, you're not bothered by some of the mud he throws, but all of us have some mud that will stick. We got to be careful, every one of us. There's not a person in this room that doesn't have to worry about the mud that's being thrown, because Satan's trying to get us dirty. And may I say this? The Bible tells us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Keep yourself unspotted. How do you do that? You have to stay close to the Lord. Let's read verse 12 once again. Having your conversation or your lifestyle honest among the Gentiles. As we read verse 12, we find that Peter talks about the necessity of having a right and proper lifestyle. We are to be different. Even though society says we have to accept the sinful behaviors of others, doesn't mean we join them. We're to be different. We find that Peter is saying it is necessary. Because once they look at us and see that we are no different, they will say, well, what's so special about them? Our conduct, our behavior, our actions and deportment need to be honest and proper. You've all heard this statement. If you've been in any Baptist church for any period of time, you've heard this. If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And if we were being put on trial for being a Christian, we want to be found what? Guilty. We want to be found guilty. We want people to know that we are Christ's and that we're following after him, that we are his followers. May we be found guilty of being a Christian. Take your Bibles, and we're hopefully going to look at a number of scriptures in our closing time. Colossians chapter 3, if you would, please. Colossians chapter 3, we'll begin reading at verse 5. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. Paul, writing to these believers, says in verse 5, mortify, or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye have also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. As a believer, there are ways we used to live, but now we live differently. If you would, back to Ephesians chapter 5, just back a couple of books, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. To abstain from fleshly lusts, to walk honestly before the Gentiles. Notice verse 15 of chapter 5. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Galatians 5:24 says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the effects and lusts. 1 Peter 2:12 again, they may by your good works, which they shall see, behold, or which they shall behold, glorify God. Quickly to the book of James, if you would please. James chapter 2. There is to be a different walk and attitude for the believer. Peter is telling those early believers, this is what needs to be done. And they must have done it because the Christian faith grew and multiplied. And because of their walk, we are able to be here today. But if you would, the book of James, chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, and that by your good works, know there is a difference, and they shall glorify God. Chapter 4, the book of James, beginning at verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? And whoso therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. You may want to underline that in your Bible, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Submit, resist, draw nigh, cleanse and purify. We are to be away from what the world offers. Staying clean in a polluted world. Is it possible to stay clean in a polluted world? A couple of you think so. Let me ask you again. Is it possible to remain clean in a polluted world? Let me give you some examples. Noah. Noah lived during a time in which the Lord said, it is so bad down there, it bothers me that I ever created man. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It is possible to live the right type of life. How about Joseph? Joseph who was sold into slavery. Joseph who was lied about and thrown into prison. Joseph whose boss's wife threw herself at him. And he said, I can't do this sin against God. Joseph kept himself clean in a polluted world. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The king said, when the music plays, you will bow down to this idol. Did they bow down? No. See, there have been those who lived in a polluted world but kept themselves clean. We need to do the same thing. And may it be said of us that we had a testimony right with the Lord. Shall we stand together? We'll be singing a song of invitation. Maybe this morning you would just like to come and pray and ask the Lord for strength in your daily walk to remain true and pure. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for someone that you know is going through a hard time right now, that's going through a difficult time, and you'd like to come and pray for them. Maybe you yourself need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, you know the words and you've heard the terms, but have you ever accepted him as Lord?
Or maybe you just need to pray and say, Lord, I've drifted. I need to come back. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray asking that during this invitation time that you will bless and that you would encourage. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving, amen.